Yes, you already know what it is. I am the senator. We are back, and this is Keeping Up with the Senator. And of course, I couldn't come back without my amazing co-host, Oh So Dope Cass.
Yes, it feels so good to be back. Honestly, just seeing your face, seeing the split screen, I'm really feeling the vibe. And who would have known that I would miss it as much as I did? But I'm so glad that we're here.
Well, we all knew you were going to miss it because our
Okay.
weekly conversations
That's true.
is what you're going to miss. Like, it's
Yeah.
just how it happens. How have you been?
Yo, I've been busy. I was just telling you before we came on here, I've been how I look. All like busy in a good way with things that I want to be doing with my own projects. And that's what I asked for and that's what I got. So I'm not even pissy about that. I just feel kind of like, overwhelmed, overworked a little bit, but I'm learning as I go and I'm learning as I grow. What about you? How the heck have you been?
I'm really good. Right now, I am with my DJ team. We're in the middle of planning this R&B party that I've always wanted to throw. It's been a dream of mine. So out in Calgary, out here, we're gonna be throwing that party. Looking forward to it. Like I'm telling you, like I've been inspired with the whole process of trying to get this up and going. And it's only been a week, but like I'm about to put out a promo mix in a little bit.
Yo,
It got me
my
back
belly.
into actually
Yes.
doing a mix, you know what I mean?
Yes.
And then trying to get like the, talking to people, and shout out to DJ Dilly, who's in the chat right now.
Hey, what up, DJ Dilly?
Shout out to DJ Dilly and his family. He's also gonna be one of the DJs DJing that night too. But yeah, no, it's just like it's been like one of those things where you just get inspired to do something. And when I flew out to Toronto, we haven't really had that many conversations on the pod since I flew out there. But like the same feeling that you got when me and you were having conversations was the same feeling I got when we actually locked a venue and locked a date. And now I'm just in go mode, you know?
Yo, there's something about the art of execution, not even the art, but just doing it. And a lot of the times I feel like creatives and artists like us is we get a lot of satisfaction out of talking our ideas through being validated and our friends be like, yo, that would be sick, that would be sick. But then it's next level when you actually start doing. So like I'm really excited to see how this happens. Like what day? Okay, I know you're not releasing info right
No,
away,
no, no, no.
but
It's
like
gonna be where the goal is September 16th. We kind of have it all blocked out right now. So September 16th out in Calgary, like my first party that I'm ever throwing, probably the only party
Yo,
I'm ever gonna throw. But like,
don't say that.
no, for me it was like I threw a lot of parties when I was in Toronto, right? And when I moved out here, I completely stopped DJing. Completely stopped DJing. And then shout out to Dilly. He got me inspired to go back into DJing. Now I'm like DJing every Friday. And then now it's kind of like, all right, one of the parties that I've never gotten to throw that I always wanted to throw, we've built up to a point where it's like, okay, I have a little bit of a following. Everyone has their following, right? And now is the time where we can actually execute it. And I'm starting to get used to being around people because, man, when I did Lilac Fest with the crew, that was one where it took me completely out of my comfort zone. And I was like, oh man, I can be around people like that. Not for a long period of time, don't get it twisted. But
Okay, good word.
for a short period of time, I can be around them. I can. And it doesn't, like mess me up. So.
Yo, this makes me so happy to hear. Honestly, it makes me so happy to hear because you're doing it. Like you're doing it, you're living it, and I can't wait to see how it comes out.
Yeah, so I'm excited. Whether what I know it's gonna be a success, right? But obviously success is considered subjective. So it's to what you consider successful. I don't need a packed house for it to be successful.
Mm-hmm.
I need the vibes after everybody's mm-hmm. for the people that are there saying that, man, I would come to a next one of these.
Yeah, exactly. And
once you get that validation, you're kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
But enough about me and my stuff. Are you going to discuss what you've been busy with?
Oh my gosh. I'm just going to point form it because I feel like I'm the kind of person who likes to go on and on and on. So in the time that I've been gone, I've launched a second podcast. Well, maybe a first podcast because my audio show on Oh So Dope is called an audio show. Anyways, the podcast that I'm talking about is called Audio Adventures, and it's just a storytelling podcast for children. Each story is between 3 and 5 minutes, so it's a quick, easy listen, and each story ends with 3 talkback questions, and these questions are basically designed to start conversation between child and parent. Also every Friday on that show as well, I have Fun Fact Friday. Those episodes are literally 3 minutes. It's a fun fact, a riddle of the week, and then something like a fun idea to do for the weekend. So for example, last weekend, I already forget the riddle. Oh, what has a hand and legs, but maybe no head or whatever. And it's a clock. And then, see, I'm rambling. And then the fun thing to do on the weekend is to make a board game. And then the fun fact was twins who were born 87 days apart. Anyways, so yeah, I've done that. I did a whole big launch party / event. I directed my first short film, which was nuts. I did that 2 days ago. And honestly, I am plastered, not from alcohol, but from just like exerting so much energy and not stopping. So last night I went to bed at 9:30 p.m. I woke up this morning at 11. Like,
for those that don't know Cass, 9:30 is like proper bedtime for her. So
what do you mean proper bedtime? Do you know what my normal bedtime is? My normal bedtime is anywhere between 2 and 4 in the morning.
Sure. Like,
that's what time I'd be going to bed.
Sure.
No, it's real. Anyways, I
stay with you for a week. Sure.
No, seriously. Maybe when you stayed with me, it was like my downtime. But like normally I'm up until around 2-3 in the morning, sometimes 4 if it's like really busy. But I was hoping that I would reset my sleep schedule. So I would go to bed at 9:30 and then I would be able to start my day at like 6:37. And I'd be like, oh yeah, now I'm a real grown up. So yeah, I'm really excited. Honestly, I've spent so much time on Oh So Dope, and I love Oh So Dope, and I'm not going to stop doing it. But All the Craze, which is the children's entertainment, it's providing me with so many different like outlets and opportunities lately, and I just have to listen. I have to listen to the universe, look, God. I have to listen to what it's sending me, what God is sending me, and like go in that direction. I don't feel like I'm going off my path at all. I don't feel like I'm missing out or losing out on anything with Oh So Dope. I feel like what's presented in front of me and what makes sense, I'm going to go towards. And baby, I'm going towards it.
You know, that is the interesting thing, because we did have that conversation off air mm-hmm. before. And I was telling you, like, just focus on one thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you didn't actually know which was the one thing that you wanted to focus on.
Yeah.
And it's like the universe kind of just pointed you decision. In that direction for you.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I don't want to go dark on Oh So Dope. That is for damn sure. And the only reason why I haven't really been giving it much of my time is just because the past 3 to 4 weeks have been nuts. But I do think that if I structure my time well and I create a system that works for me, I can upkeep both. I know that Oh So Dope is like really like my passion, and it's so easy for me to create content on that. And I know that All the Craze for kids, like that's my moneymaker. That's what mm-hmm. I can monetize right away. And I'm making a lot of money off of it. Well, yeah, I'm making a lot of money off of it. And I'm just like, okay, I have to keep going in this direction and be of service, but still through my creative arts, right? Like I'm still doing these stories. And you better believe every event that I go to when I'm meeting parents and like I'm telling them about the storytelling podcast I have for kids. I'm not telling them about my audio show for adults because two different worlds. Two different worlds, but
can't blend those.
Yeah, but I feel like with the kids' entertainment, I felt like honestly before it's like they just wanted me to paint faces. They just wanted me to blow up balloon animals. They just wanted me to teach dance classes. But now I'm like, no, like it all can work as an its own ecosystem. Mm-hmm. So I'm treating it just like that. So every time I'm going out, I'm getting email addresses from parents. I say, follow me on Instagram, da da da. Like, and I'm pushing my arts through my moneymaker, which is the services that I offer through my business. So yeah, I don't know. I'm just thinking differently about it. I'm thinking from a different perspective. Cause before, yeah, I just felt like I felt a little bit defeated and I felt like this wasn't making sense, but it was because I wasn't making it make sense. Now I got to make it make sense for me.
That's all it is, right? It's yeah. trying to figure out exactly what you want to do, how you yeah. want to do it, and then executing it. And
yeah.
you're in the middle of doing that right now and crushing it.
Yeah. And like leveraging the resources and tools that you already have, not necessarily waiting for the right moments and the right tools to fall in your lap and going out and searching for things. Look at what you already have in your toolkit and figure out if there's a way that you can use it to get to where you want, which it's not always, you're not always going to have the best options. And I'm not saying you should give up on searching for different tools, but before you go out looking to reinvent the wheel, see what you got in your own backyard.
Yeah. See if you have the tools already. And if you yeah. do, then you move forward with it. If you don't have the tools, then you just got to figure out a way to get them. Right.
So love it. Love it.
Yeah, well, enough about us. Mm-hmm. I know I wanted to do a little catch-up session before we yeah. got into everything. But let's talk. So this week right now, we're going to, because this is our introduction back into potting, right? Back into doing the Keeping Up with the Senator. There's a lot of stuff that we're going to have to end up starting to watch. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm going to do a whole rundown okay. at the end. Mm-hmm. But for now, let's talk about something that's probably going to impact the reality TV world. And for those that don't know, the SAG writers and actors are all on strike.
Yeah.
With that being said, the last time when there was a strike, that was when you saw the boom of reality TV. So now everybody is moving. They're not allowed to do appearances on new shows on like anything. Like they, because if they end up doing appearances, they get kicked out of the union, which is a very big thing for people that are trying to, that want to maintain their job, maintain their work, maintain all that stuff. So how are you feeling about this writer strike that's currently happening? And how do you think it's going to impact what we do on this podcast, which is reality TV?
Wow. I think that's such a loaded and great question. You should be an interviewer for a living. Okay. So Barely. Do I feel about the writer's strike? The writer's strike and the actor strike. I think now things are getting serious. Personally, because I'm in the transition from in careers. So I'm switching from working in social work and community work into the entertainment industry to become a writer. So this is scary for someone like me who's not yet in the union. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, okay, well, I could look at this as a, oh, this is a sign to stay back and not go. It's unsafe. It's unsure. It's unstable. But no, right now, as an independent writer, as someone who is not in the union yet, I think, I don't know if this is right for me to say, politically correct for me to say, but I think this is my time to shine. You know, because people mm-hmm. are going to be seeking out the entertainment that I long to create. And now I'm not so obsessed with the idea of, okay, like number one on my list isn't necessarily getting into the union now. Number one on my list is, again, leveraging the tools that I have now to create what I want to create and biting off what I can chew. Same with like the actors thing. I think it's going to create, as far as the entertainment industry goes outside of myself, I think it's going to create a halt in scripted television. So we're talking all of the major power players and even like streaming. So I think there might be a lot of like reruns from the past. I think reality TV is going to boom as if it's not boomed already. So I don't know what if reality TV, if they're going to come out with like super outlandish stuff, more like a MILF Manor, like those ideas are going to get the like, green lit, because they're how many housewife shows can you do? How many dating blind date shows can you do, right, without it just becoming a little bit redundant? So they're going to have to get creative, which I don't think is going to be hard. But I do think we're going to start seeing some newly structured reality shows, which for us now, bringing it back to the show and our podcast, is going to be great. It's going to be great.
It's very interesting when we kind of sit down there and look at the impact that this can have on reality TV. Because like I said earlier, this when the writers went on strike, that's when the boom really happens.
Mm-hmm.
The ESPYs happened last week, and they ended up having to ask Pat McAfee, who owns his own show, to be the host, because the person that who was originally supposed to host the ESPYs is on strike now.
Who was that?
The way how Pat McAfee made it sound, it was supposed to be Kevin Hart.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right.
What do you think? But for people like Kevin Hart and Issa Rae, for example, mm-hmm. they are not only writers, they are actors, but they're also producers, directors. Do you think that them wearing those several hats will allow them to still be active in certain areas of their career? No, they can't touch anything regarding film and television.
No, because it seems like everything, in order to be a part of the union, you have to... Whether you're an actor, producer, writer, once you go against it, you can't go back into the union. So that messes up a lot of stuff for them.
Okay, I have a question though. But like, let's say Kevin Hart isn't going back. He's not acting in the next project. He's producing something. Does that still count as a strike against him in the mm-hmm. actors union?
Mm-hmm.
No way.
Because so the union is pretty much for life, pretty much.
They trump every other. And that's interesting.
And even if he was going to be if he wanted to produce something, right, it would have to be something that isn't scripted, doesn't require actors.
Well, he's got an audio network.
He can do podcasts. He can do his own podcasts, but he can't
do something on film. Okay. This is crazy. And they're saying that this is going to last well into fall. It seems like they're willing to wait it out. No one wants to budge. And I don't know the specifics of it. So I really can't predict. But give me some more information about that, if you know.
So with them waiting it out, they're fighting for the right of one payment. Because they used to really get paid as writers, and now they might get paid for like 4 days, and that's
right.
It.
Right.
With syndication. Syndication was a big thing with the old agreement, and the reason why syndication was such a big thing, because if you wrote on a show for ABC and it got syndicated, you got paid off of it.
Like off of reruns?
Off mm-hmm. of reruns, off of... No, but syndication is like... Okay, so let's say somebody... Let's say you get a show onto ABC.
Mm-hmm.
And then other shows are taking it... Are airing it at the same time and airing it after. That is syndication. To make it more nationwide. Mm-hmm. Not just on that one time channel. Not one time slot, but for multiple time slots with different... networks. They used to get paid off of that, but because of Netflix and Hulu and everybody moving towards streaming, it reduces the amount of syndication that's actually happening.
Okay. Yeah.
So now they're saying you have these streaming platforms that are taking away money from where we are, because there's no syndication in the streaming platforms, because mm-hmm. they stay on the streaming platforms, especially mm-hmm. if you're a series, for example, Ozark. Let's use Ozark, for example. Ozark isn't getting syndicated for anything else because it's a Netflix exclusive show. So okay, if you wrote on it, you're losing money because you're not getting syndication pay, plus you're getting paid less for writing on that show because you might be writing for 5 days and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
So instead of getting a payment of $200,000 for a year for a series or whatever, you might get $5,000 for the week.
Wow. Okay.
So
damn.
The actors and the writers are fighting for increased pay and better pay and a better understanding of what a stream is. Because you're looking at the worth of the stream, but you're also looking at streaming. Netflix never announces what their actual numbers are. Mm-hmm. Disney Plus never actually announces how much stream is on a show. They might announce how many people are subscribed to the platform.
Yeah, or what's top ranking.
Or what's top ranking, but never what the actual stream is. So how are you supposed to get paid off of something if they're not disclosing how much views are actually happening to it?
Yeah. Damn.
So the SAG is going towards the same way how music is going when music went from album sales when you went to the store to buy albums to streaming, because nobody actually knows. Every streaming platform for music has a different payout.
Mm-hmm.
And so
apparently Spotify is the worst, right?
Spotify is the worst. But you're looking at point, I think for Spotify it was something like 0.00004 cents per stream,
which is not much.
It's not much at all. Mm-hmm. Is this what the girls from Orange is the New Black was talking about when she made $27? Yep, that's exactly what it is.
What was that? I never heard about that.
So there's a lot of actors that are on streaming that are on shows that were popular shows, streaming shows that made no money.
Right.
And the reason why they made no money was because you can't determine nobody has an actual dollar amount for the stream.
Yeah.
So you look at some of the shifts. Netflix went through a huge shift where they were making original content, but they were paying out for comedians to come. So Dave Chappelle made 60 mil. Eddie Murphy Dave Chappelle got 50. Eddie Murphy got 60. Eddie Murphy still hasn't even put a special out on Netflix yet.
Mm.
He got the 60 from Netflix and did Coming to America with
Kenya.
No, I was trying to remember the platform.
Amazon Prime.
Yeah. Right? So he still hasn't even done anything on Netflix yet.
Yeah, but he's already earmarked to do something.
Exactly. Just never know when it's going to actually happen.
So they're saying that the comedians are making more money than the actual actors. Is that what you're...
They weren't paying out the actors and everything, like writers on shows.
Okay.
And actors were getting paid a lot less than they would if they were on a syndicated show. And the reason why they were able to pay them less, because syndication usually causes increase in pay. So if you look at Big Bang Theory, when they got syndicated all over the place, pretty much all the main characters got $1 million per episode.
Damn.
Same thing with Friends. Mm-hmm. Jennifer Aniston was getting paid $1 million per episode at one point.
Yeah, way back then too.
Yeah. So you're looking at, but with no syndication, because it's on a digital platform, then where's the money coming from?
Right.
And then that's what booms the reality show podcast, reality shows, bringing it back to what we do. It's reality shows don't need writers.
No, they just need a crew. Actors. Yeah.
The crew is not even a part of the SAG. So you can hire on a crew.
Yeah, you can contract out. Yep.
And there you go. You have reality shows.
Damn. That's crazy. That is crazy. When do you think the strike will be resolved, or when do you think the issues are going to be resolved?
I think right now the big issue is that it's summertime, and usually there's not a lot of original programming going on in the summertime. When the fall season hits, that is when it's really going to hit, because that's where people, that's where all the shows usually bring out their big guns, because they know people are going to be in the house.
Yeah.
So I think that the networks are going to try to do whatever it takes to get shows back up by October the latest.
That can't even happen, I feel like, because you still, they've missed out on so much production time. Like, on a production, it requires so much time, unless like you're Tyler Perry, to script something, to rehearse something, to film, to edit, to get everything ready for release. Like, they're doing this months in advance.
Well, you gotta remember that. So, for example, I forget what movie it was being aired the moment when they went on strike. So it was already there. They were debuting the movie,
ready for release.
And they walked out. Like, all the actors.
That's Barbie movie, right? Oh, was that Barbie movie?
I don't think it was a Barbie movie. But yeah, I could be wrong.
It's the other one that's coming out the same day.
Yeah, and they literally walked out of the debut, right? Damn. But that doesn't take away from the fact that it's already a finished product. So these shows might already have 3 or 4 episodes in the tuck.
Mm-hmm.
But when they realize that the season isn't done.
Yeah.
You can't really air 4 episodes. Like, we've seen that effect with the Chappelle show, when Chappelle walked out back in the day, and they had asked Charlie Murphy and Donnell Rawlins to host the Chappelle show. It went 5 episodes and that was it.
Yeah.
It's still not the same, right? Like, so
do you think that we are weasels if we're like, okay, we notice the actors, writers are all on strike, and we view it as an opportunity to come up? Does that make us weasels?
My boy hit me up and said, yo, this is the time for you to cash in right now.
Okay. Because my future is with these unions, right? Yeah. Like, as far as, so I'm like, am I a weasel? But I think it depends on how you look at it. If you look at it as in like, oh, well, they're all gone, so now this is my time to sell out. No, I feel like this is when it's quiet. Now I'm going to be loud. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is
exciting.
This is a time to make the most out of everything.
We have to have a post-episode meeting, like a strategic business meeting on what we can do.
Oh yeah, for sure. We're about to grow this brand over this next little bit. Like, this isn't just a small thing. This is a big opportunity that we can really make the most of it.
Yeah, yeah. I already have some ideas, but the ideas that I have will require you to be here with me at my house.
Well, we'll figure out the flight situation. I'll just bring a onesie.
Yeah, just bring your onesie. I need a matching one though. Yeah, figure out the flights. Okay, we'll talk about it after.
Yeah, we'll talk about it after. But
you see a smile on my face as soon as you said you're coming to Toronto. I love when you're here. Sorry. Is that just clingy?
No.
I'm the clingy co-host.
No, the clinginess would be if I just open my door randomly and you're just there. Be like,
right,
wait,
exactly,
what
with a cheesecake.
Right, yeah. Speaking
is
of the cheesecake.
Is this light bothering you?
Amazing.
The one that's...
No, it's okay. So... Okay. One big thing that I will tell you about this episode, and for anyone that's listening, this episode is actually going to, I'm sending it off to the Fresh Take Network. So that's the network where I do all like the sports podcasts and stuff like that. And we're going to send it out to them to help grow our audience, because that network has been around for 10 years. I do a lot of work with them. I did tell him I was going to send him 1 or 2 episodes, and because we're not doing clips on this one, this episode here, this would be a great way for people to get to know how we are normally.
Yeah.
And then once we have these clips added in, it's just going to add to the beauty that is this podcast.
Okay.
But while we're at this, let's talk about the reality shows that are on right now. Mm-hmm. Are you watching any? And by the way, I want to give you your credit. You inspired me to watch a show, and I watched the entire season yesterday.
Survival of the Thickest?
Survival of the Thickest.
It was. Can we also break down those shows? It was so good, right?
It was a really good show.
Yeah.
Normally, I like any show that Tone Bell is in. He's a dope actor.
Who's Tone Bell?
Her best friend.
Which one? Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's been in a few shows that I've watched, and I like those shows. Michelle.
Oh, amazing. Just a
lovable character.
So good. Do you listen to her podcast or
I don't listen to her stuff? So to tell you the truth, I only really knew about her from
The Circle. Oh, she's bomb. Everything she does, everything she touches.
And I'm starting to notice that. So yeah. I'm going to lock in a lot more to her stuff.
Yeah.
But I thought the show was amazing. I really liked the show, and I'm hoping season two comes. Well, it might not come next year. It might come or it might come at the very end of next year. We don't know, but
it's so good.
I was happy. I liked even the way how they ended it.
Mm-hmm. When they ended, I was like, hold on, is this it?
Yeah.
Okay.
I saw 8 episodes. I was like, and this is the end of the 8th episode. I was like, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, when I see shows like that I love, like, first of all, I knew that I was going to love the show just from the promo. Mm-hmm. And because it's Michelle Buteau and I love everything that she does. And I love any show that is scripted around or built around Black women, because I'm a Black woman. So I just seen myself in the characters, and they were entertaining and all of that. But what I try to do is I try not to look at how many episodes a show has and just enjoy it as it goes along. Because what happens is, if I really like a show, I start getting sad around like episode 6, 7, when I know I'm nearing the end, or I start getting in my head about it and I'm like, oh, is this what's going to happen? And it takes away from me just being in tune with the show, because I'm trying to predict how things are going to end. So I didn't know how many episodes the show had, because I wouldn't let myself see how many episodes. So when it ended, I was like, oh, that was it. And there's something about leaving us on that cliffhanger, leaving an open ending, that I love as someone too, who writes stories and shows.
It was really dope. I just wanted to give you your props for that one.
Thank you.
Cynthia, you are absolutely correct. Below Deck is horrible, and I'll continue to watch. This past season of Below Deck Sailing Yacht was probably the most cringiest season out of them all so far.
Uh-huh.
And I can't wait to watch the reunion tomorrow.
Oh my gosh. What reality shows are you watching currently?
Okay, so Love Island UK.
Mm-hmm. And you've mentioned Love Island UK is better than.
Yeah, I love Love Island UK over US.
Okay.
I think right now they're on episode 42. Because it comes on 6 nights a week. And mm-hmm. then they do like an unseen bit on Saturdays. But I don't watch the unseen bits. I just watch the episodes. Too Hot to Handle just returned. 3 episodes of that. Like I said, Below Deck Sailing Yacht, the part 2 of the reunion is tomorrow. Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to think. I feel like I'm missing one right now. I'm not MasterChef.
I have so much content ideas for us, by the way. Sorry to, like, as you're listing all this stuff off.
I think that's all of them right now.
Center myself. Yeah.
I think that's all of them right now. I've been, well, yeah, those are the main ones I've been watching.
Nice. Nice.
Craziness. There's too many of them. Oh, what am I talking about? I'm lying to you. There's Temptation Island.
Okay.
That's back on. And then there is The Big D. Pause.
What is The Big D?
It's
a divorce show.
It's shows with divorced couples that date other divorced couples.
Huh.
And there are one person from like the divorced couple, one of the couples that is like, I kind of want my wife back or I want my husband back.
And oh, the other person's like, good.
The other person's already ready to move on to date somebody else. And that then what happens is each week they vote off somebody. And so let's say we're both married and you vote off my wife. I still stay.
Ooh. Damn, that's juicy.
But then I have to do like my final goodbye to walk her out and be like, you know, I'll always love you, but
oh my gosh.
I think it's time that I don't see a future for us. I think it's time that we gotta move forward.
We gotta go our separate ways.
Yeah.
As Usher would say, like,
and it's always the one where I just want you to be happy. I want you to be happy too.
Oh my gosh.
I will always love you. And then they go their separate ways.
Damn. Okay. That's on Netflix or that's on Hulu?
No. That is a USA Network show. So that one, you may possibly find it on CTV in Canada.
Okay. Okay.
So Temptation Island and The Big D pods are probably on CTV. Probably, I know the website has it. I don't know if when it airs on TV.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry, this light is really bugging me. I'm going to just turn it off. I have my ring light in front of me. Hold on.
It's going flicking like crazy right now. I miss Big Brother Canada. Will you do Big Brother, American Big Brother? I honestly, August is such a busy month. And on top of that, it's this girl, I tell you. On top of that, Big Brother it's an interesting show, but like I want like all the cringe moments, the juicy moments. I kind of like the relationship stuff. So I'll probably check it out, seeing that I'm not watching The Bachelorette because that is horrible. I stopped.
Why aren't you watching The Bachelorette? It's with the black girl, right?
Yeah, but it's horrible.
The first glimpse I got of her was on social media. She went semi-viral on, I think it was either Refinery 29 Unbothered or Blavity. Basically, she was on there saying one of her opinions is that bonnets are not to be worn outside. And if you're a black woman, you know, even if this is your opinion, you should never say it on national TV because you know that this is a very touchy subject for our community. And you choose to use your platform that you're having now to, I guess what some people would say, to shit on other black women who have different choices than you. Yeah. It was her hot take, I guess. And I think from there, she lost a lot of us. And we're like, we see who you are. Or like, even though that shouldn't be her defining moment, but I think it was a bad choice for her marketing.
Well, that show was, I think, whoever, you have to have somebody really interesting as the main person.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just not that. She's so,
not giving interesting.
It's not giving interesting. Also, they're about to air Geriatric Bachelor.
Oh, I see. He's a silver fox.
The 71-year-old bachelor.
He's a good-looking man.
To date grandparents. So yep. This is going to be They realized Pat Sajak just retired, and they had to find a way to keep older women watching TV. So they decided to put out The Bachelor Geriatric.
Did they call it that, or are you just calling it that?
I'm calling it that.
Oh my God.
I don't know what it's actually called.
Yeah. Imagine they called it that, like The Bachelor Seniors Home, you know? And it was, that would be a sick show to watch. That would be a sick
show.
Like, even if it's not The Bachelor, if it's just called The Seniors Home, and it's all about the seniors.
All you have to do is throw one young person in there, and it's about to go crazy. Did I ever tell you my seniors home story?
No. What's your seniors home story?
Okay, so about 4 years ago, 3 years ago, I was working for an agency doing a summer camp, and we had to a part of the summer camp is to do philanthropy work, right? So everything ended up being like last second, all that stuff, and so when it came to the plans, all the plans got messed up, and then I ended up going to, there was a seniors home right across the street from where our program was. So I was like, you know what? Let's see if I can like partner with them and do a bunch of stuff with them. And they were like, yeah, for sure. So the first time I went there, it was a bingo night. We were helping them play bingo and stuff like that. And I was like, okay, cool. That's cool. Let's have some fun, whatever. So I'm walking, the kids are there sitting beside these older people. I walk around and I'm like checking up on the kids. And then all these old people, let me tell you, one woman goes, you're the type of black guy I would take home to my parents. And I go,
was like a senior's home. It's like someone who lived there?
Yeah.
Whoa.
And I go, excuse you? And she goes, yeah, you're the type of black guy. Like, you know, my mom, I was born in Alabama. I grew up in Alabama. My mom hated people that used the N-word, but she said the N-word. And I was like, oh my gosh. Okay. I don't know if I want to go with this. She was like, but yeah, no. But she's like, you are the type of one that I would take home to my mom and she would love you. And I was like, all right, well, thank you.
That's not a compliment, but okay.
Then I walked to a next, like I went to check on the next one of the kids in the program. And then the woman goes, I used to ballroom dance. I go, okay, thanks. Like, I don't know why you just offering that information up. She was like, I could teach you how to ballroom dance. I go, huh? And she goes, yeah, our chests would have to be like close together. Like our hearts have to become synchronized. And I was like, what is happening right now?
this is wild.
This is off of my first time going there. I was like, you know what? I don't know if I want to come back to the seniors home anymore, but yeah, do seniors home.
You need to
home
listen to the universe and what the universe is telling you and the doors that they're opening. If you're ever having a difficult time in the love department, you know, you can either A, go to seniors home, or B, increase that age on your dating apps. If you're on the dating apps, I feel like, or yeah, you could just, you know, go get a mature woman.
Yeah. I was told, I got invited to watch the news.
What? Yeah. Oh my gosh. But you know that's going to be us one day, right?
Like that's not going to be me.
No, listen, today I was on this Zoom call for like my old job. I don't know, my brother asked me to go on. And it was a lot of like older people who were maybe about to retire. I seen this one lady. She couldn't figure out her camera on Zoom, but she was on camera. And I see her take out a magnifying lens to look and to see the options on Zoom. And I was like, this is wild.
Chill.
And I'm just like, what did they say?
Said, yikes, I feel like a lot of us have a story like this. Yes. Yeah. Probably.
Yeah. Yeah. But I'm saying that's going to be us one day. It's like before you know it. Do you remember when we thought 30-year-olds were mad old? Like I remember when my mom turned 30, I started getting scared. I'm like, oh, mortality is creeping in. My mom is 30. And now it's like, well, we are in our 30s. We are that age. And a lot of, I bet the younger kids probably think we're mad cringy. They're like, every millennial has a podcast. Like, I don't know. We're going to get there one day. Let me tell you.
Yeah, we do this podcast for the geriatrics that are going to watch the new season of The Bachelor.
Yo, we should. And we should teach them. And then we should hire or see where we have these ideas. We should get the seniors' homes to organize watch parties around it and then watch our after show. And then we could do a live after show. We could do a live show at the seniors' home.
Only if we do it at like 1 o'clock, because they're going to be sleeping by the time the show airs.
No, we could do it after dinner, like 5 p.m. And then like there's the whole side is just like there's just pudding and applesauce.
just all the like soft food that you can have.
Yeah, just mashed potatoes, gravy.
So I wanted to put that is true. They might be asleep by then. That's absolutely true.
No, but they stay up late. It's like it's a treat. You know, they have to take their midday nap. They stay up late. They get ready. They put on their brooch.
You think and they're going to skip lipstick. Bingo for that?
No, this is going to be bingo. Instead of bingo, they're bringing us in as an after show.
Nah,
Two blacks and two mics and one show.
Oh, okay.
The after show.
You just want to hear that you would be the type of black person she would bring home.
Yo, don't let anybody ever say that to me. You're the type of black girl. Excuse me, sir. What?
But because we're a reality show podcast.
Yeah.
And because we've been on here for 46 minutes already.
Yeah.
Time has just been flying by. We've had some good conversation. And normally we have like 5 or 6 or 7 clips to go by. But I want to play you a clip from Temptation Island. Episode 1 of season 5, the new season that's out right now. And I want to get your take. I played this on the Not So Soft pod to find out what their takes were. But like, I want a woman's take on it.
You take from a lady. Okay.
So let's see if you can see this. Let me know if you see this.
I do.
Let's hope you can hear it.
Turn up the volume a little bit. More? I can't hear it.
Okay. Let's pause this, and then I'm going to do it another way. I don't know how to pause this. What is happening? This shows you we haven't paused in a while.
In so long. Okay. Do you want to send it to my phone?
No, I got you. I know exactly how to do it. I was just being lazy. I'm not going to lie to you.
Okay. Got it.
So we are going to do it this way, and you should probably be able to hear it better. Let's go.
By 30,
yeah,
he should definitely have everything aligned. And I just fear that the path that he's currently on isn't going to meet that objective. That makes me nervous.
You've got an agenda of what you're hoping for. You're hoping he's that dude. And it makes you nervous to think that he might not be. What scares me is you trying to make him be something that he may or may not be.
I just feel like I'm allowed to have my standards, and he has to determine whether he's willing to meet them or not.
What's he allowed to have?
He can have his standards as well. And he'll communicate those to me, and then I get to decide whether I want to abide by those standards or not.
Well, no, you got your standards. But is he a work in progress for you to mold, or is he an equal partner in a relationship that's going to be husband and wife at some point?
I heard no lies. I hear no lies. I think she is, I don't think she's being toxic about it. I think this viewpoint is a viewpoint that can be delivered and communicated in so many different ways. And a lot of the times it is communicated in a way where it's like women or men are looking down on their possible or potential partners. And they're almost like shaming people for not being what they think that they should be. But I think she was really calm, cool, and collected about it. Like, okay, well, these are my standards and these are my concerns, and I'm going to be honest about it. I'm not going to settle. And I also understand that anyone that I'm dating will also have their own standards. Just like, even the whole conversation of like, oh, should men always pay the bill, right? There's going to be people who have different points of views, and nobody's right. Nobody's wrong. It's just a matter of finding someone who you're compatible with, who has a similar viewpoint. So when we're talking standards now, again, nobody's too good. Nobody's not good enough. It's a matter of finding someone who fits your standards, or someone who you're willing to compromise and bend your standards a little bit for. I never think that you should go in a relationship looking at someone as as something to work on. And I think that's where a lot of us women mess up sometimes. We see men for their potential and we say, oh, you know, they're loving, they're caring, they're sweet, they're this or that, but they really fall short in that area. Let me work on them. Let me work on this for them. And I think that's not good for anybody, really, unless it's something that they've already kind of vocalize that it's something that they want to work on. For example, if I meet a guy and he might not be in the best shape of his life, but guess what? He's already down 20 pounds from where he was and he's on this journey and it's his choice. But for me to put my standards on someone because they're not that, I don't think that's fair. In fact, like bringing it to like a personal situation of mine, it was just that, like the last guy that I was dating, I wasn't attracted to him, but I never wanted, you know how like you'll hear on podcasts, people write in, what do you do when your partner gains so much weight and you're not attracted to them? They're like, okay, well then you tell them to go to the gym and you break it to them gently. But he never expressed that he was upset with his body. He never said that he wanted to change or lose weight or any of that. So I kept that shit to myself because it's not my place to tell him that, listen, the body type that you have isn't what I like. It's just not good. So I tried to stick it out. I didn't communicate my standards because I didn't feel those were the type of standards that I should communicate. You get what I'm saying? I feel like I'm just going down a rabbit hole.
No, I get
Anyways,
it.
I feel like there's no right or wrong answer here. I love the way that she delivered it. And I don't think she was being toxic. I'm curious, what did you have to say about it? And what did the men in your circle think about that clip?
So they kind of agree with you. They said that they see nothing wrong with what she said on that one. There's a way how you can deliver stuff and it can become considered toxic. And that one there wasn't. Let's go to this comment. Communication is the foundation for everything. That is absolutely correct. I think for me, the funny thing is that this was episode one. And then when you get to like episode, I think they're on episode five now. It's all the way how that couple was behaving in the houses. Mm-hmm. Whole nother thing.
Okay. See, I don't know. I don't have context.
Yeah. But this is me going off of episode one, watching it. I was like, okay, she's a woman that knows what she wants.
Mm-hmm.
And he might not be a guy that has the voice to really express exactly what he wants. So he kind of goes along with what she wants. And that tends to happen with both people in a relationship. Like, we can't just say that the girl dominates or we can't say the guy dominates because they both will in certain aspects. And usually the more dominating personality is the one that gets what they want. Right. Let's get back to this one comment real quick. Maybe she didn't communicate this before the show. I'm not sure, but she didn't come across as toxic to me, but I really need to watch this season. I will tell you, yes, you do. And if you need me to get you episodes, don't worry, I got you. just let me know. But I think people with the biggest personalities are the ones that usually get kind of their way in situations because the people with that might not have the confidence level or less of a personality might feel that level of inferiority complex, right? Where it's like, I can't keep up with those ones. It's like when you go out and you see you have that one friend that's like able to communicate with everybody. And it's just like ends up being friends with everybody. And then you're just like the introvert. So you kind of just stay in the background and you're like, oh man, I wish I could do that. It's kind of like that in a relationship form every day.
Yeah. Right?
So, but like I said, the show gets wild. The show is getting wild. And now what they did for the first time is they put a red light in each cabin. So do you know what Temptation Island is about?
No. Oh yeah, it's where they bring males and females together and they're just not allowed to have sex or kiss or whatever, right? No,
that's too hot to handle.
Oh.
So Temptation Island is couples go to this island, and then they separate the men and the women from there, but they let the men and the women live with 12 other people from the other sex in the same house as them.
Whoa. So are these couples that they bring on the show, are they on the brinks or are they on the rocks, or they're fairly healthy couples?
Well, according to them, they feel like there might be something missing. They're trying to test the relationship to see exactly how it is. But now they are, what you call it? Absolutely correct. It is too hot to handle with couples, but no rules.
Whoa. Yeah, I can imagine.
But this season, what they decided to do to spice up the show is they put a red light, like they put like a globe or a circle thing, right? And if the light turns red, that means the other person gave in to temptation. Like the other house gave in to temptation, but you don't know who the people are that gave it to temptation.
You just know it could be your man sleeping.
It could be your man's, or it could be your girls that's sleeping with somebody else or hooking up with somebody. Like, you just don't know who it is.
Whoa.
So it is just a craziness this season.
Damn, I like that.
Because I'll give you a little bit of a spoiler. Too much of a spoiler. But the guy house, somebody hooks up in the guy house, and the light turns on in the girl's house. And all the girls pause for a second, and they're like, I wonder if that's my dude, whatever. And then after that, they were like, hey, if they're going to hook up in that house, we're turning up in this house.
Damn. So
it just gets wild. But what gets crazy is at the end of each episode, they have a bonfire where you go and you watch a clip of your partner. But it's like a 30-second clip, but there's no context.
No context.
No context. So it could be her just saying like, yeah, this would be the type of guy that I would go for, whatever, whatever. And he looks completely different than the person that they are actually dating, but they don't tell you.
Right.
You don't see what the conversation was before or after.
Okay, this show is on Netflix, right?
This show's on CTV. This comes on right before the Big D. Pause.
Listen, I don't have cable, but I have other ways.
I could never do this show. Do you think you guys could? No. No. If I go on that show, it's because I know we're breaking up and I just want to hook up.
Right. Or you could go on the show as one of the other like 12 single males that lives in the female house.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm literally just going to hook up. So
yeah.
No, I couldn't do that show.
I think I could do that if I was just in the other house as like one of the single girls. But I don't think I would want to bring my relationship on a platform like this.
No, I wouldn't bring my relationship onto this or the ultimatum.
Yeah, I don't even bring my relationships onto social media. So what am I looking like?
That's a fact.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll bring it to Love and Hip Hop Canada.
Yeah, Love and Hip Hop Canada. Where would Love and Hip Hop Canada film the majority of the scenes? I know, but like where in Toronto? That wasn't even a question for me. I knew it was going to be in Toronto. Sorry, that's so like self-centered. But like, where would they go to film some of their scenes? Let's come up with some like for some spots. They would definitely go...
Eden Center.
They would go to the Eden Center. They'd go to like Yonge and Dundas Square. That's where they'd have one of their performances.
Oh, yes. Hold on one second. I have not watched the show yet, but I know about the show and I'm adding it to my list. Have you seen the show where it's something like this, but with AIs? It's a foreign reality show. It's either in Spanish or French. It is a French show.
What is this?
And it's on Netflix.
Okay, what is it?
Give me one second. I'll look it up for you right now.
Okay, and I'll keep talking about where Love and Hip Hop Canada would film. They would definitely go to Sky Zone for one of the kids' birthday parties, but like all the adults are there. There would only be like three kids in attendance. And the adults, they would like bounce on Sky Zone. stuff. Also, do you think that Love and Hip Hop Canada, they would have like build a body girls, or would they all be like natural? Because like you don't really see many BBLs
You have to have a mixture of both.
Okay, so some BBL baddies and some like natural girls.
Yeah. So the show is called Deep Fake Love. It's Spanish. And it's Falso Amor. That's what it's actually called.
Wow.
It's five couples put their trust to the test in this steamy reality show where deep fake technology blurs the line of truth and lies in a cash prize game.
This is wild. Why would you do this to yourself?
So, like I said, it's getting crazy right now when we're looking at reality TV because there are so many different ones. Laugh my ass off at Sky Zone. Yes, for sure. Because, okay, so you said Sky Zone. Ripley's Aquarium, for sure.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, they would do that what's that arcade beside Ripley's Aquarium? It's not Playdium. What's that place called? It's like an arcade with like a restaurant.
I know which one you're... No, that's not Dave & Buster's down there.
No, it's not Dave & Buster's.
No.
What is it?
I'm trying to think of where else they would go. They would go to that one like street where there's like the mural, like close by
Kensington.
Yeah, in Kensington area, they'll definitely go there. Alley? Yeah, they'll definitely go there for like somebody's about to shoot a music video.
The rec room. They would go to the rec room for sure. Yeah.
Rec room. Where else would they go? You know, it would be one where a bunch of guys end up at some form of casino.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. For sure. Do you think they would end up at like a restaurant, like The Real Jerk or something?
Not The Real
Jerk. Or like
Jerk.
Rasta Pasta?
Maybe Rasta Pasta. They would have like a healing session by the Bluffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, after like a big fight scene where they're trying to get everyone back on the same page. They'll go to Spin, you know, like the table tennis bar.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah.
They do a trip to BC.
BC or Montreal?
BC, Montreal, or Halifax. It'd be like those three ones. It'd be like, hey, I organized a trip to
Halifax. Niagara Falls. We all
have to take they have to take a plane there. To make it sound like they're going far.
Really? I would figure that, first of all, they would be on a Canadian budget. Second of all, they would be on like...
They'd go to Muskoka?
Maybe. That's where they do their healing.
That's where they do Bachelor in Paradise.
Yeah. I feel like they would just go on like a... What do you call it? Like a sprinter van to Niagara Falls and they'd do the go-karts. They'd go see the falls at night. And then they'd catch someone cheating out there. And then, they would go wine to the vineyards in Niagara Falls for sure and get drunk.
Or they go to the vineyards in BC. And then all of a sudden, one person invited somebody that they never actually told was coming on the trip. Yeah. And now there's some drama there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're thinking of a plane trip?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not cutting them enough slack. I'm like, they can't afford a plane.
There's flair.
Okay.
There's flair and links. They can get out there. But at this point right now, we're going to put a wrap to this one here. So, Cass, let everyone know what you've been working on.
Hey, okay. So, if you want to find me for adult content, not XXX, but like funny blog posts,
yeah, creative she's not merchandise. Doing any Adam 22.
Exactly.
Situation over here.
Yeah, TV reviews, movie reviews, interviews with different actors. I probably won't be doing any anytime soon because they're on strike. You can find me at osodope.co. So osodope.co. And if you have kids or if you're into children's entertainment, if you want to look at what I'm doing over there, you can find me at All the Craze TV. And you can find me on Instagram, and Instagram has my links to everything else I'm working on.
That's what's up. Also, because of one of your interviews, I ended up watching, what was that show on Netflix? with the guy from On My Block?
Oh, I'm a Virgo.
I'm a Virgo. I ended up watching.
Did you love it?
I enjoyed it. There was some parts where I was like, eh.
Outlandish.
But like overall, I enjoyed that show.
Well, Boots Riley created it, so it's a little awkward. It's a little like weird and fantastical, but it's a good show. Jerrell Jerome always does such a great job in any role he does. And Brett Gray, which is the one that you're talking about. Yo, he's just funny. He's just really funny, man. The only thing that I regret about, I don't want to say life, but, you know, after doing those interviews, it's like if I was in LA, like in person, because those interviews are, you know, virtual. Mm-hmm. They did like a whole opening event and someone else from the company that I work with to do those interviews got to go and not me. So it's just like, I wish I was in LA because, yo, when I seen the photos from the launch event that they had Big Bang burgers and they were mini. So like your Big Bang burger would be mini. The whole design was sick and like all the actors were there. They were doing red carpet stuff. And I'm like, man, you know, but it was a good show.
Soon time. You'll be out there.
Yeah.
As for me, okay, I got a bunch of stuff. So
of course.
Your wrestling podcast, probably a new episode coming out this week. We're going to talk about our experience going to the AEW Collision show this past Saturday. 7K Pick podcast, football, the franchise tag stuff just happened. So we're going to put out an episode based off of that. The ISO podcast, I wasn't on the last episode, but shout out to Coach and Josh, who held it down, talking about the CEBL, talking about the NBA free agency, a bunch of different stuff. The Lakers, the Raptors, all that good stuff. The Not So Soft podcast. This past episodes drop every Monday. Shout out to Kino. Shout out to Nino. This past week, we talked about a bunch of different stuff, but we also had to address that Adam 22 situation again, now that the tape is officially out. And we got the party that I'm planning right now, the R&B party, Say Less, happening September 16th. I'm just editing up the promo mix that will be out soon. Flyers will be out soon. If you're in Calgary, come catch me at Joey's Chinook. I am there every Friday night now. It used to be every other week. Now it's every week.
Nice.
I think that's all at this point right now.
A lot.
I don't know
what you're doing.
I gotta do some more though. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Good job, kid.
Appreciate that support right there. But as far as keeping up with the Senator, we are back now. We are back. We took a little bit of a break because life got hectic.
Life.
But we will be back every Tuesday. 9 o'clock Eastern time, 7 o'clock Mountain time, 6 o'clock Pacific time. Make sure to help and promote, let people know, tell a friend. We right now, you pretty much only have reality TV. So why not get the breakdown from people that you actually know?
Yeah.
And the episodes will air live on Tuesdays, and then the audio and the video will be up on the YouTube page and the Spotify page and everything the following day. So make sure to subscribe, like, rate, all that good stuff right there. And the TikTok. Don't forget to hit up our TikTok page at Keeping Up With The Senator.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a while since I had to do this closing out. So
yeah. I'm like you're good.
In my head trying to think about all the stuff that needs to be promoted. But this has been Keeping Up With The Senator. She is also Dope Cass.
Yeah.
I am the Senator, and we will be back next week.
Next week.
Peace.
Bye-bye.